must I run away from things I know that I must face? It's rather to find in this day and age. Maybe we're all the same.
Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. 512 Friday edition of Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn. That's when my man Patrick takes jams from local bands and artists, very talented human beings, and plays those jams for us and gives you a chance to catch these very talented human beings live right here in Austin, Texas. Who are we jamming right now, Patrick?
This is The Waters, and they are playing tonight at Sam's Town Point.
I like that. Yeah, there you go. So if you miss any of these suggestions for 512 Friday, I believe my man Patrick always hooks you up at hornfm.com on the website. So you can look really smart in front of all your friends, look really cool in front of all your friends, like you're in the know. And really, it's just Patrick giving you the down low on all these very talented folks on a 512 Friday. All right, let's get to the big story of the day. It is some news that we discussed. We actually played some audio, too, earlier in the week of DeAndre Hopkins on a podcast with Brandon Marshall, the I Am Athlete podcast, of him, I guess, foreshadowing. And I guess maybe he knew, because the world in the street is he hasn't been the best teammate there with the Arizona Cardinals. And maybe that he was trying to force his way out, sabotage the relationship there. But the Arizona Cardinals have released DeAndre Hopkins, and now we wait to see what team is going to acquire DeAndre Hopkins, and at least how much it is going to cost to acquire DeAndre Hopkins as well. That will also be a big topic of conversation. We talked about it earlier. I think Kansas City and Buffalo, gentlemen, are the two. I don't know if they're the front runners. I looked at the Vegas odds for bookies.com. We brought this up earlier this week when we discussed this topic. Kansas City had the best odds when I last looked at it. Now, that was before this news broke. I haven't looked at it since the news broke. Got to go look at it since the news broke. I'm sure it's changed. But Kansas City had the best odds to land DeAndre Hopkins if he left Arizona. And, of course, him being cut means he's leaving Arizona.
Yes.
So, if that is the case, then, you know, like I said, the rest of the NFL – should be afraid. Well, be very afraid if he ends up with Kansas City or Buffalo. And remember, on the Pivot podcast, he said, I believe his five quarterbacks, when they asked him, what quarterbacks would you like to be receiver for or catch balls from, in order, he said Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert. Oh, sorry. The guy from San Diego.
The guy from San Diego.
I believe that's, he could even come with the name. The guy from San Diego. But he likes his game, apparently. Yep. So I honestly think he's going to end. He might end up with one of those squads. Because I think that Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, if he wants to win a Super Bowl, those would be the two front runners. Do those teams want to pay whatever it is going to cost to acquire DeAndre Hopkins or whatever the asking price is? Well, that's where we got the, you know, whatever's lost in translation.
Well, what we really got to figure out is how much it's going to cost the Arizona Cardinals with how much they're going to pick up of that tab. That will tell you everything about what he can go for on the open market. We talked yesterday about Patrick Mahomes talking about, I'm not going to do anything to hurt the quarterback market by giving up too much money. And that could be the same thing that DeAndre Hopkins is talking about too. But if you're trying to seriously make a run, and I believe his list of demands had a lot to do with the stability of the front office, the quarterback, to your point, that he can understand and vibe with, but most importantly, a quarterback that is trying to be a leader. That is where he was losing so much respect for Kyler Murray. Was he going to try to throw him under the bus? No. But now that he's out of there, I'm sure we're going to hear some other conversations about how Kyler wasn't trying to get to the work level that everybody else was. We've heard it, but we haven't truly heard players talk about it. We've all heard a coach. We've all heard front office. We've all heard other talking heads talk about it. I've yet to hear a player say anything about Kyler, and I'm wondering if DeAndre is going to be the person that might come out and say, this is why I was asking for my release or my trade or whatever it was. Because remember, he did ask for a trade, right? He asked for a trade earlier.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think it was as publicized like Lamar's.
Yeah,
but he did ask for one.
This is it's a part of two where every team's got to look at and go, this guy's, you know, whether it was right or wrong, and both these teams don't have great cultures of, you know, and success. But this is the second team that has basically cut ties with him solely on his how he acted in the locker room and nothing to do with his performance. Yeah. So when you're bringing him in, you go, okay, we need to really vet him a little bit to make sure we're bringing him in and he is part of what we want to do and he doesn't want to come in and change up what we do.
Yeah.
So we just need to check and make sure on that. But, like, we can say the Chargers are out because they've already got too many wide receivers as is. They don't need to add another wide receiver there. Kansas City seems to be the team that makes the most sense. They already had a guy named Tyreek Hill that – you know, many people said coming up was not going to be a culture fit for them, and they were able to do great things with him. So you go, we have enough support around us that we feel we can have a wide receiver come in and fit him in, and, you know, we can make things work with him in here. And we probably have the room to do it because our wide receiver budget is really low right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Buffalo could take a look at him. And we know Buffalo is probably would offer him the longest contract just because that's kind of how they've been doing business, is trying to sign those kind of cap over cash, but work those deals where it's like a 4 or 5 year deal and the money's split up in a weird way. They've done that for a couple guys. So they may offer him something that's longer if he wants that. But if he wants to go short term, you'd probably figure Kansas City would be the team.
Can I go back to something you brought up earlier? I think it is unfair that DeAndre Hopkins is getting the label of being a diva now late in his career. Remember, early in his career, he was everything, the antithesis of a diva. Yeah. He had a holdout that lasted less than 24 hours with the Texans. And because Bill O'Brien, and the ineptitude and dysfunction of the fusterclunk of a franchise, the Texans decided him having too many baby mamas wasn't
That was ridiculous.
Right, that
was ridiculous.
No, that's I'm just the
I know, but that, that's
there,
what I'm saying. That is that, ridiculous.
That was one of the reasons that he was not compatible with their plan to be the Chick-fil-A of the NFL, because they wanted to be a Christian kind of based organization, which nothing wrong with that at all. But
Christian's supposed to forgive.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. But your nuggets suck, okay? Yeah. Chick-fil-A can do that because they got damn good nuggets. They can be closed on Sundays, and you've been playing like you've been closed on Sundays for the last 2 years, okay? They can be a Christian based organization. You cannot do it. All right, you can't pull that off. You're not that good. So he didn't jive with that, so they decided, you know, we're moving on from him. So because of that, he's now had a label attached to him that he's a bit of a diva, and he goes to Arizona where they have, and by the way, the leadership with the Texans, even the quarterback leadership, bad.
Right.
Deshaun Watson was the face of your franchise. And
is
your
this your king?
Exactly, exactly. And then Bill O'Brien was also the leader, and Jack Easterby was the leader, and then, hell, the son, all right, you know, there's the ownership, right? And to me, I don't know if that was fair for him to get the label of being a diva just because of the fusterclunk of a franchise that the Houston Texans were, and they moved on from him. And then he goes to Arizona, and what we hear about Kyler Murray, that he's not a great leader.
Right.
And what do we hear about that Cliff Kingsbury, was he a great head coach? Probably not. Great offensive mind, not a great head coach. So I think because he's ended up in all these dumpster fires, he's got this label attached to him. And I'm going to say unfairly, but it could be fair. Maybe I don't know the whole story. None of us do. But I think it's an unfair label attached to him, considering look at the circumstances around the man.
Yeah.
Good Lord, look at both of those franchises.
Yeah.
He's played for two of the worst franchises in the NFL the last two last 3 or 4 years now, because he's been
there. Which is why his demands have changed a little bit.
Yeah, like he's becoming a diva because he's dealing with these really bad franchises, terrible leadership. And he's like, you know what? I have to take my future in my own hands because I cannot trust y'all to do it.
No, and I get that. I'm saying that when you look at that, first of all, there are franchises out there. There's probably still 10 to 15 franchises in the NFL right now that have coaches in front of offices just like Arizona and Houston, where he's going to go there, and if you say, oh, we'll bring him in because let's pay him $20 million more and he'll save our team, that's not the best way to bring him in, and you could have this once again. So I'm just saying that any team who goes after him, you have to look and go, okay, we looked into it, we asked people around, and they told us, hey, man, it was a situation, not him. Yeah. And then you go, cool, we'll bring him in. but you have to at least look into it, because if you go, again, when we say two times, you're like, it could be a coincidence. It could be a coincidence that he went to two teams, and it just was that. Or you have to, but if you go talk to people and they go, oh, no, no, he fought his way out of both teams, and he will do it to you too, because that's what people think of him.
I don't think
that's what it is. I think you have to vet him.
No, I agree. I'm just saying, we do have to look at the franchises. I mean, and like I said, with other franchises, you're not wrong that there is ineptitude all around the league. But with the Texans, there's no checks and balances. Every level of leadership is bad. From Cal McNair, not anymore, but I'm just saying, I've seen in recent history, this Cal McNair, whether it was Easterby, whether it was Bill O'Brien, whatever you were looking at, they were all bad. It was all bad leadership.
Yep.
And the quarterback, obviously, that was bad leadership too. Deshaun Watson wasn't a great leader. They was a good football player, but not a great leader. And then you go to the Arizona Cardinals, it was Cliff Kingsbury. Was that great leadership? Then Kyler Murray? And then the GM? Hell, the GM there. Right? He was a bit of a dumpster fire himself. Was it Keim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got in trouble.
He got in trouble multiple times.
Yeah.
And now I think it's trying to sue the Cardinals. Guys, that's what I'm saying. Like, I know there's bad leadership everywhere, but usually there's a checks and balances. Like, oh, your GM is bad, but you got a damn good quarterback who's a good leader. Or your owner's a good owner, but you know what? The head coach is bad, but you got a good GM. There's no checks and balances with both of those organizations. It was bad all the way down till they got to him. Everybody was inept.
Yep.
And dysfunctional. So I'm just saying, like, can we give the man a break? Like, now he's a diva just because he wanted out of two of the worst run organizations in the NFL the last 5 years?
I would have wanted to leave too, just FYI.
This ain't Kyrie Irving, guys.
Yeah.
No. Like, no, I don't think it is.
I'm a big Hopkins fan, and I'm even to the point where I was looking at the Cowboys trying to get him at one point. Now you're looking at the money. This might be a situation where if they're taking all the money and all the risk, and they've got this, they got to take this cap hit. That's why everybody's shocked that they released him now, and it's not a designated drop on June 1st. No, he's released now.
Yeah, because they're going to rebuild this year.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. I'm talking about as far as my money's concerned.
Yeah, but I think that was the deal, is they just want to rebuild. And so they're like, let's get this cap hit out of the way quicker, because we push it out. If we're going to be trying to be competitive again in 3 years and we're still paying for him, just get him off the books. Yep. And we'll be done with him. Pay everything now, and you know, because we have to spend the money somewhere. Mm-hmm. So we might as well spend it on this guy that was not going to be here, and we'll be fine. And we can write the check and we can go home.
Yep.
But that's why I think they did that. But, yeah, I mean, I agree with your point that he has been in two very bad situations.
For sure.
I think that if any of these teams, like if you talk about a Buffalo or a Kansas City, I don't think there's really any problem there because it is just, it has much better leadership. I think Buffalo is two or three steps away. Like, if they regress again this year,
agreed,
that is going to turn into an S show really quickly because they have so much money on the books. Stephon Diggs is already unhappy, and you have to fire McDermott at that point. So we don't know who they bring in because you've obviously reached the ceiling with McDermott if they regress again. So there is a lot of questions of, like, Buffalo, if he goes there, you go, ooh, this could be strike three for you, and it's not even your fault, but they just bring you in, it falls apart.
And something tells me that DeAndre Hopkins doesn't like the cold, that he doesn't want to play in the cold.
Yeah.
I don't know that for a fact. I'm just saying something in me tells me he's got to choose. He's going to choose a warmer weather.
But that's the part about it.
Yeah, no, he didn't choose. I mean, I guess
but now he's a free agent. He chooses.
Kansas City gets cold too. I'm just saying, but Buffalo is a different.
I would go to Kansas City.
You've been in different parts of the country.
Yes.
There are different kinds of cold in different parts of the country. And you know that. And Buffalo, way different kind of cold than the Kansas City cold. Still cold.
Stayed an off season with a girlfriend. Didn't stay the whole off season.
Well, Buffalo
stayed a week because it was too cold for your boy.
And
we broke up.
Yeah. No, and think about it. In AFC East, you play basically a lot of cold. You play Miami is your kind of warm weather place to go.
Yeah.
Everywhere else, you're still going to play cold weather places pretty much.
Frozen tundra.
Man,
not doing
you play in Kansas City, you get to go to the West Coast.
Exactly.
You know.
Yes, you're in the West. You're in the West. I want all the late games.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, you got to play in Kansas City.
Domes. I want domes.
So, I don't know. That's just, but like I said, I don't know anything. I don't know what
I'm
fact
I'm with you. My thought process, I'm either going to the Dallas Cowboys or I'm going to the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not going to Buffalo because let's not forget, Stephon Diggs is trying to get out of Buffalo. He said it multiple times. He loves Josh Allen. He loves him. but he doesn't want to be there no more. And you got New York state tax, too.
Could that be incentive for them to go more all in on the other? I don't know. If he wants out there, I wonder if that decentivizes or incentivizes DeAndre Hopkins to go there.
Yeah.
But they offer more money now that they're a little bit destabilized there at wide receiver.
Yep. I will give you a couple. One team we know he will not go to. I can tell you 100% he's not going to the Patriots. We know that. Because Bill O'Brien is the offensive coordinator. He is not going to the Patriots.
That is true.
So, because that's a team that needs a wide receiver.
No, you're right. He's not going. No.
Bill O'Brien's here, so we're good.
No way.
But I will say a team that could really use him, that is warm,
give it to
that
me.
Is young, that is ready to go,
oh,
Jacksonville.
I knew you were going there. You're right. And they can afford him.
And they're building right now. You can put him on there. Really good coach.
That is a really good coach.
You have a good coach in there. It. You have that's one of those things where you put him in, and now you got a veteran experience.
That's scary.
You put him in. So that's a team that I would say they need to look into it. I don't know if he's looking at them right now, but they should be on the phone being like, "Hey, why don't you come down for a meeting?"
The only thing that I would say that may put a bit of a damper on that, because I love that idea, by the way, is that they get Calvin Ridley back?
Yeah, they get Calvin Ridley back.
So they may think, oh, no, we got reinforcements already coming, but I'm with you. They want to go all in. Like, nah, let's go, dog. Let's go. We had a shot. We're ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
Now with Peterson here, and we got our head coach. We got our quarterback of the future. We like where we're going. Let's go. Let's get him. If we actually, last year, think about it, they were closer than they thought because they had that run toward the end of the season. They get DeAndre Hopkins. They may have one of the best wide receiving cores in the league, like top three or four. Mm.
Yeah. So that's just a team that you would that I put on the red on the radar at least.
Someone says,
and we just need his grandpa to send him some some film of Trevor Lawrence, because I doubt he knows. If he doesn't know who the kid from San Diego is, there's no way he knows who Trevor Lawrence is.
Yeah, you're right. There's no way. Well, he probably has another name for him. the blonde hair, sunshine. The long hair. Yeah, exactly. Sunshine. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, he probably has some other name for him.
Sunshine.
A texter says Lions might make a sneaky pick. That's also
that would be good.
They play in a dome.
They play in a dome. I was gonna say they do. They play in a dome, and man, that offense is a high price. It's a top five offense.
Didn't they lose a wide receiver to suspension for gambling?
Yes, yeah, Jameson Williams.
Yeah.
You're right. Six games.
Yep.
So.
Great point. Oh, that's big. That is true. And they got to start off against Kansas City.
But that's when does he want to go play with Jared Goff? And I know Goff had a really good season, but just from the clip we listened to yesterday.
It wasn't one of the quarterback
names. It's not. No. And Jared Goff, he knows of because he's playing the Super Bowl. Like, you figure he's heard that name before.
And to your point, Harge, about Dallas, man, remember they in that clip, we have to replay that clip later on the show. I'm sure we got it. I'll have to sit.
We just got to play one piece of it. Yeah. Where he goes, Dak Prescott, he goes,
I knew y'all was going to go there.
Well, the guy said Dak Prescott. Brandon Marshall said Dak Prescott. And then the beautiful woman who was there, she says, oh, I love Dak Prescott. And he doesn't blink. He doesn't say. He doesn't respond. He doesn't even actually acknowledge that they said Dak Prescott's name. He just rolls on to the next QB in his head. So I don't know if Dak's on that wish list, man.
Maybe that was his way of playing poker.
It is.
He was playing. He had a poker face.
If the Cowboys get Brandon Cooks and DeAndre Hopkins, they're just going.
Just moving up north.
Every angry Texans wide receiver is going there. Hey, let's go sign Will Fuller, guys.
That would be somewhat annoying, actually, as a Texans fan. That would be, but
I would be excited for that.
Honestly, guys, hey, what about Baltimore? Would Baltimore make a move here?
They way overpaid for Odell Beckham.
They did.
And are you going to overpay for?
But they.
I don't think you're going to be overpaying for Hopkins because he still has a lot left in the tank. We still don't know what's happening with Odell as far as his injury is concerned.
Yeah.
Yes, and think about it, guys. They have just, and maybe it's temporary or maybe now because they have Lamar Jackson as their franchise quarterback and they signed a new contract, they've shifted their methods a little bit, right? Their habits. They're drafting wide receivers early in the draft. They never used to do that. They're paying wide receivers in free agency. Probably this is all to keep Lamar Jackson happy. But still, it is them kind of changing some of their organizational habits. Honestly, they got a new offensive coordinator in Todd Monken. We just heard the sound yesterday of Lamar Jackson saying, we're going to throw it more and run it less. All right? Basically, it's him saying, paraphrasing, you can only get so far. Running the football the way we run it. We got to throw the football. DeAndre Hopkins, he's great for a quarterback like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, can you imagine
50-50 balls?
Can you imagine that wide receiver room step up in 1 year? if it goes from
wait,
Devin Duvernay was the number one.
Yeah, you're right.
Devin Duvernay was like what, one of their higher receivers.
He was.
To now you'd have Hop. You'd have Odell Beckham Jr.
And you'd
have
Zay Flowers.
Come on,
and you got Duvernay, and you still got
and
Duvernay.
You can do Duvernay, and you got there's another guy, and I can't think of his name right now.
Oh, you're right. Because basically, here it is. They had Marquise.
Porsche.
They had Marquise. You're right. It is him. They had Marquise Brown. Basically, won a unanimous MVP.
Yeah.
Throwing to Marquise Brown, Willie Snead, Seth Roberts, Miles Boykin, and Chris Moore, wide receiver. Those were his receivers when he won MVP. Now he's going to have OBJ, Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers, Nelson Aguilar, and Devin Duvernay.
Yeah,
and he still got his tight end.
Nelson Aguilar gets cut if you get DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. And then you got the tight end who he loves as that's
Mark
probably his
Andrews,
top weapon
Mark
as Mark Andrews. But
that's right.
But receiver wise, listen, they're starting to look a little different. They get DeAndre Hopkins, and this is a team that spent the fewest amount of dollars on wide receiver. I think the second fewest actually in a 4-year span with Lamar Jackson as their starting quarterback, and now they're starting to change things a little bit. So I don't know. I like what they're doing. And maybe DeAndre Hopkins can be one of the missing pieces. And he was on the list, by the way.
He was.
Yes, he was.
Lamar Jackson made the list. Jalen Hurts
you
made
know
the
who
list.
Didn't?
But it won't be Jalen Hurts.
Dak didn't make the list.
Yeah, I don't think Joe Burrow made the list either, though. So,
Joe Burrow
yeah,
did
there
not
we
make
go.
The list.
Thank you.
So let's just, for the record, we will say Joe Burrow is not on his list. So
that way, yeah. Okay.
But Jalen Hurts is the only guy that was under the age of 25 that he knew the name.
That's, do you have to like Joe Burrow that much? Yeah, I guess you do.
Yeah, if you're going to say who would you want to be thrown to, you'd be like, yeah, I think I'd probably put that name up on my list.
I would put Joe Burrow on my list. Hopkins to the Giants, says a texter.
Yeah, he ain't going to Daniel Jones.
He don't want to play with Daniel Jones. The Giants may want him, but I don't know if it's reciprocated.
Yeah,
I don't know if he'd want to play with them.
It's going to be cold up there.
But I will say.
But it is New York.
If anybody can make Daniel Jones look good, it's Spanx. You know what I said about DeAndre Hopkins, man? He's like Spanx. He's basically the NFL equivalent of the garment Spanx for women. Nothing against it, ladies. I'm all for it. But he can take something misshapen, malformed, shapeless, something disproportionate, unattractive, non-symmetrical, unappealing, and unsightly, and he'll turn it into something productive and sexy. He's done it many times. Trust me, with Matt Schaub, Case Keenum, Ryan Mallett, Ryan Fitzpatrick, T.J. Yates, Brandon Wheaton, Brian Hoyer, Tom Savage, A.J. McCarron, all the quarterbacks he had in his first 5 years before Deshaun Watson became his starting quarterback. Guys, that is by somebody brought up Andre Johnson earlier this week when I brought that up, that stat up. Andre Johnson had some bad quarterbacks on the football, but he did not have as many bad quarterbacks in a short time span as DeAndre Hopkins had as his starting quarterbacks. And I'm not sure he made all pro with three different starting quarterbacks throwing him the football like DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Hopkins is a beast.
Yeah. I also throw you in, if you go to the Giants, you get double teamed basically every play because they don't have any other wide receivers.
Well, what do you mean about Sterling Shepard?
So you get double teamed every play. So that's another one for if he doesn't want that. And
he doesn't want that.
If he goes, man, I want to go play with somebody else because it's going to be a lot more fun on one-on-ones. Then they just literally double team me the entire time.
Man, I'd be trying to get to Kansas City.
Or Detroit, because look at it. You got Marvin Jones, you got Amara St. Brown, and you got Josh Reynolds. Amara is the number one over there.
Yeah.
Until Williams comes back, and then Williams is supposed to be the number one.
But he's out.
Was out last year, too, until he came back. So he hasn't played a full season.
He ain't even on the wide receiver list anymore right now.
He's suspended.
No point for the six games.
So you out of there.
I like that Lions pick. My top two for him would be Kansas City, Baltimore, and after that,
Dallas.
I'm trying to go more realistic, and I don't think Dallas is going to do it. Listen, Dallas has been making moves, but think about it. It still ain't in free agency, guys.
Yeah.
They don't like free agency. They made trades to get Stephon Gilmore, trade to get Brandon Cooks. So that's still a way for them to get bang for their buck. They believe, and Stephen Jones, Catboy, has said this on the record. He believes you overpay in free agency, so they don't like free agency. They only pay for their own guys to bring them back in free agency because they're getting a bargain there because those are guys they drafted. This is the most homegrown team in the NFL, and they hate free agency with a passion.
Which is crazy.
So I don't think they're going
to
do it. I don't think they're going there. If they could trade for him, yes. But they're not going. They don't want to go bid on the open market for a player because they believe that is bad value. It's a bad organizational habit. And I don't totally disagree with them, but I do think you should use every means possible to acquire the best talent available. And the Cowboys don't believe that. Howie Roseman and the Philadelphia Eagles believe that.
Right, they do.
They believe that.
They believe in that. And so I believe Veach does, too.
Veach is in there, too. Veach will
go and get some help quickly.
I'm with you on that. So I don't think he's going to the Cowboys. I'm sorry, Cowboys fans. I don't think it's going to happen.
Thanks, bro.
I'm sorry.
I just thought I'd throw it out there so I could get the people rowdy.
He worked out there hung out there and was hanging out with Micah and talked to Micah. I just don't think it's going to happen. But if he goes to Kansas City, whew.
That's why he's got to go somewhere else. You can't let him go to Kansas City. Baltimore somebody else got to step up.
I was Baltimore because Baltimore, the NFL, still has hope.
That's what I was trying to tell somebody today. It's like you can look at it and there's so many different teams that you can go play for, but do you want to win? Yeah. And if you want to win, especially at this stage in your career, how much more money do you need? Unless you've had bad spending habits and you've been in the league as long as he has and how much money he's made, endorsement, all this other stuff, is it more about you being a champion or is it more about you being the highest paid? Because just like Patrick Mahomes said, I'm more about the legacy than I am about the financials right now. The money's going to come.
That's why Kansas City's the leader.
Exactly.
And that's the question, how much of that's guaranteed from the Cardinals?
Right.
Because he may be getting a flat check for $20 million from the Cardinals if that's what's guaranteed on
it. That's what I'm saying. And then you're out of there.
Yeah, so if you go, man, I already got a $20 million check.
I think it was 19.7, I 19
believe. And a half, yeah, 19.7, yeah. Guaranteed. Then you could take a little bit less or stretch it out over a few couple years.
You don't even need that. You want to be a champ.
I don't think you can do the, at 30 years old, do the I'll sign for the minimum to win a ring.
Yeah.
But you can still come in with a favorable deal, which 15 to 20 is a very favorable deal for D-Hop right now.
All right, here's the money. So the move will not be designated as a post-June 1 cut because they just cut him, meaning the Cardinals will clear $7.38 million in cap space in 2023. They're going to carry $22.6 million in dead cap. We'll have removed Hopkins' salary from their cap entirely in 2024. Because Hopkins didn't have any guaranteed money left on his deal, Arizona will also save $19.4 million in cash in 2023. So they must have they paid it out.
Okay.
He's got no more. According to Tom Pelissero, there's no more guaranteed money left on the deal.
So he can go wherever he wants and make whatever he wants.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he basically.
I want to win, I'll take the minimum.
He can go veteran minimum if you want.
Exactly.
I don't think he will because that's an insult, but he can go close to it, hook somebody up. Yeah. All right, what you got coming up on Harsh Knock Life?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the Dallas Cowboys. We're also going to talk a little bit about the Texas Rangers. I know we hadn't had much of that conversation, but surprise, surprise, we're headed into June and them boys still winning.
All right, we got that coming up on Harsh Knock Life right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9 The Horn.
Ladies and gentlemen, guys and dolls, the main event of the evening for your entertainment and pleasure.
Mike, you have to be so combative.
Now, I probably wouldn't say this in front of white folks, but in front of y'all, I'm gonna speak my mind.
He has emotional anger issue problem.
Hey, are you Dirty Mike and the boys?
I'm Mike Lowry.
Michael!
Oh, that's funny. Michael!
Welcome back to a 512 edition of Ball Don't Lie. It's your boy Hardball Hard. You can follow me on Twitter at Hardball Hard. You can follow my man Rob Babers at Rob Babers. And of course, you can follow the man behind the glass at It's Patrick Davis. We also love it when you're a part of the show. Hit us up on the Specs text line 512-337-3776. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the Dallas Cowboys and what the expectations are coming into this season, some of the moves that they made this offseason, who is going to be the go-to guy. But I want to start off by talking about the Texas Rangers. I got a chance to go to spring training thanks to the courtesy of the Round Rock Express, the AAA affiliate of the Texas Rangers, and the folks for Texas Rangers. They invited us out there, got a chance to walk around, see a lot of stuff, and get to meet some of these new players. And we had Jared Sadler on with us early in the season, and we were talking about this team and what the expectations were coming in, and they were all in. We talked about it from last year. They went out and got Corey Seager at shortstop, and they went and got Marcus Semien at second base. Marcus Semien had a very slow start last year, was not producing the numbers. Then I find out this year, reason why his numbers might have slowed up a little bit was because of the fact that he was dealing with everything concerning the lockout with Major League Baseball, making sure that the Players Association and the CBA was written up the right way, which was very impressive. And now he's come out and been able to do all kinds of things. But you sit here and you look at this team, but then they go out and they get a Nathan Eovaldi pitcher, comes in and is got two complete games and has really looked like the leader of this team because Jacob DeGrom, the big money offseason, was struggling a little bit, and then he had to deal with the injury. So you start looking at this team and you say, man, are they really that good? Are they really that good? I have to tell you, they're really that good. They are really that good. And when you look at who they are and what they were able to do in the West, it is impressive. They are right now – they're in first place, 31-18, with a .633 winning percentage. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They got a two-game winning streak. But here's the impressive part for me when you talk about the Texas Rangers. It's the plus-minus. It's the plus-minus on the run differential. They are now the number one team right now is Tampa Bay with the plus-minus. They are +114. The number two team? The Texas Rangers. They are +112. There are two runs behind them. And they have continued to go out there. And remember, Tampa got off to that great start where everybody was talking about the Tampa Bay Rays and how they were going about their business and the winning streak that they had going into the season. And now you look at this Texas Rangers team and you're like, man, they are very, very impressive. And when you start looking at their stats and who's the leaders and what's going on with them, for me, it's the development of Josh Jung, the third baseman, and Garcia in the outfield, and what Corey Seager and Marcus Semien are able to do as a team. That's been the most impressive part for me. I continue to watch this team develop and grow, and you keep saying, wait a minute, what is different about this team? What is different about this team? And you just find out it's everything. It's the confidence. You bring in a guy like Bruce Bochy, the manager that has won a lot of games in the major league. He's a calming voice. He's somebody that can teach these guys what it's like to win because he's not coming in to lose.
Yep.
He is not coming in to lose. And that's why Chris Young got a chance to go out there and get that type of player, get all those players that they needed. And the development of Josh Young coming up through the system and him being one of the guys that you look at his average, he's hitting .273 as a starting rookie third baseman, but he leads all rookies in majority of the categories for rookies. So I'm looking at him to be the player of the or rookie of the year in most batting. So you keep looking at that team and you keep saying, okay, they playing clean baseball. Everybody's doing their role. And don't forget, Corey Seager was out for a while.
Yeah.
Remember, he got hurt, pulled a hamstring. He's just now getting back, and he's right back in the middle of that lineup. So I'm very impressed because we are now about to head toward the month of May. And these guys are still in the leading the West right now, which is very impressive considering where they were before that. They're ahead of the Houston Astros, who are 28-21. They're only three games back. They've had their ups and downs, but their plus minus is only 38. They're scrapping for these wins. But the Rangers do a great job at home. They're 16-8. They're 15-10 on the road, and they're playing against teams that have a .500 record or better. They're 14-10. That's winning baseball. Mm-hmm. And they got a big challenge this week because they're playing against Baltimore. Baltimore is another team that has a very good record. They're 33-17. They're just behind the Tampa Bay Rays. They're three games out of first place in the East. So I'm impressed with what I've been able to see from the Texas Rangers thus far. And again, we're heading into June, and they're still in the middle of that battle and leading the West. So shout out to them. I just wanted to make sure that we gave them their love and what they've been able to do. They are now being considered one of the most explosive offensive teams in Major League Baseball right now.
Yeah.
Who would have thunk it?
And offseason, offseason moves worked, man.
They
spent some money.
They spent the money and they got them in the right place. So I'm real excited for that. Well, now I want to talk a little bit about the Dallas Cowboys and what the expectations are. Obviously, with the changes that have been made in the play calling situation, we've already talked about Mike McCarthy and what he's wanting to do. They got in Brian Schottenheimer is now the OC replacing Kellen Moore. I know everybody's waiting to see how Kellen Moore does with Justin Herbert because everybody hates on Dak, which is fine. But we'll see because they also know the upside of what a Justin Herbert has. The NFL has been talking about it. He's their golden boy, and now they're going to get a chance to see what he can do with an offense because Cowboys did put up a lot of points, and Rod made sure to let me know that throughout the process.
Hey, man, just trying to keep the stats out there.
Right, you got to keep it out
there.
It's data,
baby.
But I've been following our man John Machota, who does a great job with The Athletic, and he's got a couple quotes that have been out there, and Dak Prescott was talking about the offensive changes with now that Mike McCarthy is going to be calling plays. He said there are some changes, but it's not like we're going to throw away our playbook and try to start over or anything like that. Obviously, we've had success, so it's good here. Mm-hmm. So you do – we talked about this before. The Cowboys has always had one of the top five scoring offenses in the NFL year after year for what they were able to do. And then they led the NFL per game with 31.2 in 2021, and they averaged 407 yards per game in offense. So we got a chance to see that.
Yep.
But now we got different playmakers that are coming in that you have to get that chemistry. And I know we talked a little bit about Aaron Rodgers going to training camp. One thing you never had to worry about was Dak being at training camp. Mm-hmm. Dak always showed up to training camp. He likes the grind.
He does.
He likes to be with his teammates and trying to build that chemistry. Well, now you got Brandon Cooks. We've got CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup. You know, we talked about the fact of Amari Cooper and him leaving and not being a part of this team, but now we've moved on from that. There's now guys that we have that can stretch the field in Brandon Cooks. I still believe that CeeDee Lamb, although he's not I don't think he stretches the field as much, he's still an effective route runner, and he can get into small spaces.
He's a yak daddy, too.
Once he catches the ball, he can make plays. I thought Michael Gallup, near the end of the season, he looked as if he was starting to get healthy all the way back to being the player that they thought he was going to be when they let go of D-Hop. Cooper can be D-Hop.
They wish.
Yeah, when they got rid of him. But now we're going to see exactly how explosive Michael Gallup's going to be after he's had another season healthy. I think he's going to be a different player once he gets there. Another player that's going to get a lot of recognition right now, to me, is going to be Tyler Ferguson. That's my guy. Jake Ferguson. Jake Ferguson, the tight end, we've talked about him and what the expectations. Everybody, I know that the Cowboys drafted the tight end from Michigan very high. I still believe Jake Ferguson is going to be Dak's Dalton Schultz. And let's not forget, everybody talked about Dalton Schultz and, oh, my goodness, I can't believe you're going to let him walk. Nobody knew who Dalton Schultz was at one point.
You're right about that.
He developed into that player. There was not one person that was like, man, I can't believe the Cowboys didn't draft Dalton Schultz earlier. Nobody said that. He became that player because he came in and worked. I believe the same thing is going to happen with Jake Ferguson. I've been high on the horse for him, and I believe that he's going to be one of those guys that we're going to be talking about year after year about how we saw his growth at that tight end position. So offensively, you brought up the offensive line earlier, what the mix and match and the combinations of what's going to happen, that's still going to be up for debate.
Yep.
And they're going to be fighting for that job. But the one position that the Cowboys, because I talked about tight end, I talked about wide receiver, the one position for the Cowboys that really has everyone alarmed is the running back position. If you were talking about running, Tony Pollard is out at practice. He's going through the walkthroughs on the OTAs, which is great. Which is great because that means that he's ahead of schedule from what I was thinking when you start thinking about a torn ACL and having those surgeries and trying to come back from it. But medicine is different. Everything's a lot different nowadays. So guys can come back a little bit faster. But Malik Davis and Ronald Jones, are those the guys that you truly believe if you are going to be a running team? Are those three by committee enough for you to have success and when you need to close out ball games? Because that's what Zeke was. Zeke was that guy. You hand him the ball, he's going to fall forward, and you're going to get some positive yardage. And don't hit me on the specs text line talk about the last play that Zeke had where he was the center and he got ran over. That's not Zeke's fault. He didn't know what was to expect right there. But I firmly believe that the Cowboys are going to have to find a player that is going to be able to carry the load late in the ball games. Because you brought up the conversation about Skip Pete talking about he's gassed. Tony Pollard's gassed. I'm done for the rest of the game. What? Because you had an explosive play? What kind of conditioning are you dealing with? And then put on top of the fact that he's coming back from an injury. What is he going to be like? What's his win going to be look like? And what is it going to take for the Cowboys? I still think the Cowboys are going to have a successful season. They're going to make the playoffs. They're probably going to win the division. I know Philly fans are thinking you're still going to be there, but we know it alternates every year in that division, regardless of how good your team is. That is the thing that I keep looking at. How are the Cowboys going to close out a lot of these games?
All right, good stuff there. We'll come back. We'll get into Off the Record. This apex predator has turned against mankind.
What?
We'll discuss it right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9 The Horn.
D.D. Megadoodoo. I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a red man comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. Here's a story that is right now seems to be stupefying some of the best scientific minds on the planet. Reports of killer whales appearing to try and capsize boats off the coast of Spain and Portugal have raised questions about the sea creatures and their motive behind these erratic actions. In the past, basically the past couple of weeks, some of these incidents have gone viral, and the whales are seen near Spain and Portugal often in the summer. Last week, a group of killer whales broke the rudder and pierced the hull of a sailboat in the area. The crew of four on board needed to call authorities for help and were rescued, from a report from Rudder said. The boat also was their boat was towed back to the port for repairs. Earlier this month, three orcas impacted a sailing yacht. The boat was so flooded after the incident that it could not be towed back. They say that this is just one of about 20 instances recorded in the area this month by the GTOA, a group that researches orcas in the region. They also said 52 interactions were recorded between the Strait of Gibraltar and northern Spain between July and November of 2020. The following year, 197 interactions happened. And in 2022, there were 207 interactions. So the interactions between these killer whales and these boats continue to increase. And it's not the boats changing their patterns and behavior. It's the whales. The whales are literally attacking the boats.
Yep.
Now, they can't. Lopez Fernandez, a biologist at the University of Aveiro in Portugal, who also works at the GTOA, he says that the origin of the behavior is unknown. He said there are some reports speculating that orcas are teaching each other this behavior and that they're doing it in fun, in jest. No, because there is a killer whale named Luca a few years back that was spotted off the coast of Vancouver, who separated from his pod and began to follow boats. He later learned to grab onto the rudders, to break them off, to disable the boats, to push the boats around. And he was actually seeking social interactions, what they found out. He learned he could prolong the interactions with these sailors by disabling the boats. And they would stick around and hang out with him and feed him and all this kind of stuff. So he would just do it to all the boats he saw. Damn, animals are so smart. So now they're trying to figure out, because it is actually a hazard on the waters, why these animals, why these killer whales are attacking these boats. And the interactions, like I just said, they continue to increase. And they are, you know, probably for the killer whales, they're not that dramatic. But for these sailors and the people who are in the on the boats, on these yachts, it is pretty traumatic for these incidents to leave them basically, I mean, basically their boats are disabled in the middle of the ocean.
So this goes back to my long standing thought process. I'm not going into the sea where those people live.
Those animals. Those mammals?
Yes. That is their home. And they see you disrupting their home. They're coming to flip your boat. I saw video. I saw video of it.
Oh, yeah.
I literally saw video of it today. And I'm like, those are massive whales. Massive ones. They ain't baby whales. No. These are some big ones that are flipping you over.
The orcas.
Why am I trying to be a part of that, Rod? Why?
I would say these ships, these are either some people sailing out, obviously, you know, recreationally. Some of them are actually boats that are fishing and doing other things like business, commerce, things of that nature. They're just being attacked by these pods, I believe you call them, of whales.
They seen that. They seen what y'all been doing.
But I would say this about killer whales.
They're angry. Killer whales. That's why they're killer whales.
No, I'm with you on that. Killer whales are basically the... They are the Jimmy Butlers and the Nikola Jokic's of the sea. They get no respect. But, dude, they are, you know, they hunt killer, like, great whites. Like, they are the only predators to great whites. Great whites have one predator in the sea, and it's killer whales. They are the only creature in the sea that will go head-to-head with a great white shark. Every other creature decides, oh, I'm turning the other way. Every other creature looks at the great white sharks like they're Debo. They run the other way.
Yeah.
An orca looks at the great white shark and starts smiling. Goes over there to punk him.
Yeah, I don't want none of that.
You don't want to mess with these things. And by the way, let's also point this out. Why aren't there more killer whale mascots? Are there any? If you are a high school,
I guess
new high school.
Whalers. They're, what are they?
You need to be Boston a killer whaler? Whale. No, not a Boston. Killer whale. Killer whales are awesome.
SeaWorld kind of ruined it, I think.
No, not for the killer whale. The killer whale.
No, I know,
great.
But then people were like, "Well, we don't want the SeaWorld mascot."
They're abusing killer whales. No, the killer whales are, like I said, they are the kings of the sea. Nobody messes with killer whales. They hunt other whales.
Yeah,
that's why they call them killer whales. Like they do, they hunt other. This for sport. So I'm telling you, other high schools out there, you want a cool mascot? Killer whales is a cool mascot. Matter of fact, you can argue the sea, the ocean itself, is a great place to find underrated mascot material.
Yeah.
Jellyfish, sharks of all kind, killer whales.
Octopi.
Octopi? What the hell are we doing, high school? You go out with a bulldog and a damn, what the, come on.
They're
get
creative
here. There's so many different animal species on the planet. Hell, the Seattle Kraken, they made up one.
They did, the Kraken. That should have been the killer whales.
That should have been the killer whales.
They should have been the killer whales.
Come on, Seattle killer whales.
Yeah.
Come on.
I like that though, but isn't it a little late?
We got to get to. I don't know why. Maybe you have to be by the ocean. Maybe we go to Florida and California, you go coast, and they have more mascots associated with animals. We got none really associated with animals in the sea, I should say. But that's weird. We don't have any.
Mm-hmm.
We should have more of those.
I mean, we get the dolphins.
That's true. But they're by the coast.
The Marlins.
The coast.
Tampa Bay Rays.
Coast. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You got to go to the Gulf. We should all embrace those animals of the sea.
Yeah, no one on the Gulf, really.
The third the coast. Why can't the third coast do it? In H-Town, we didn't have many of those. I grew up in H-Town.
Man, H-Town is not having any.
Galveston doesn't have a lot of them. Come on.
Yeah, I'm not part of that.
The Commanders? There you go. Commanders, killer whales. Washington, killer whales. Done. You're welcome.
I like it.
The Washington whales. There you go. All right. Let's get into some NBA discussion on the other side. We'll review game 5 win for Boston, forcing a game 6 right here on Ball Don't Lie. Wonderful Nothing Horn.